You're listening to Wandering Souls, a documentary on the Vietnam War from the Center for Emerging Media. I'm Mark Steiner. On the 28th of May, 2005, a small van made its way north from Hanoi. It traveled along roads lined with factories and lush green rice paddies toward the village of Thai Giang. In the van were two American writers who were also Vietnam vets, Wayne Carlin and George Evans. Evans' wife, Daisy Zamora, and Vietnamese journals Phan Thanh Hao and Y Bon. They carried with them a box containing the journals, letters, and drawings of Hong Nhuc Dam. The documents had lain in an attic in Bamberg, South Carolina, for 36 years. That day, they would be returned to his family. Homer Steedley, who had taken them from the body of the man he shot and killed one morning in 1969, wasn't there to greet the crowd of villagers gathered to greet the caravan. Homer had stayed home in America, and instead he sent a letter to the family, apologizing, telling them he could not afford the trip, and even if he could, was too shy to meet them.
I'm very touched that you have an altar that keeps Dam's memory alive. It hurts to think of the hundreds of thousands on both sides of that tragic war who still mourn the loss of their loved ones. Sometimes the guilt of surviving can be overwhelming. What will I say when I enter into eternity? Is there a little known footnote to the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," that forgives killing in combat? Look what I did in the ignorance of my and folly of my youth. I thought I was a true patriot. So why doesn't that give me comfort at age 59? Dam and I met by chance on a trail. He and I saw each other, and both of us attempted to shoot the other. I lived, he died instantly. For over a quarter of a century, I've carried the image of this young body lying there lifeless. It was my first kill. I wish you could say it was my last. Why did a medic die and I live? I don't know. Maybe someday humanity will have the wisdom to settle conflicts without sending its youth to kill strangers. People should know what our leaders are doing when they resort to armed conflict to solve political problems. In my dying moment, Dam and many of his comrades will surely call to me. I'm not afraid, only saddened. Perhaps we will meet again as friends. Respectfully yours, Homer.
So Homer didn't hear the wailing that went up as the caravan arrived in the village.
Khi mà còn cách nhà gia đình của liệt sĩ Hoàng Ngọc Đảm độ chừng khoảng độ 3-4 chục cây thì đã có hai.
The crying here. You know that we there was a rule in Vietnamese funerals that you didn't cry when you saw someone die immediately. You have to wait until the soul is going out. Then you cry to welcome the soul, and that wailing was that cry.
Tiền của âm phủ của người Việt Nam là rất là hay dùng.
The family and neighbors and gathered dignitaries searched the faces of the Americans, trying to figure out which one was Homer.
Lúc đầu thì người ta nhiều người nói như này, kể cả bạn bè của chú, người ta bảo là chắc là ông Homer sẽ về để ông trao kỷ vật này.
At the beginning, people here, including my friends, were saying that surely Homer would come back to return the documents. But maybe he was afraid that we were still holding a grudge against him, and that we would take revenge by throwing stones.
Everybody come and ask us, where is Homer? Where is Homer? They really willing that Homer must appear there on that ceremony. And some people.
Dam's youngest brother, Luong, stared at George Evans, the Vietnam vet who had accompanied Wayne Carlin to the village.
He stood at the door, and he looked at me, and he had not a trace of emotion, a stony look. The anger came from him believing that we were deceiving him, perhaps out of fear, out of shame, and once he finally understood it, it was okay.
The Americans walked through a gauntlet of wailing villagers into the village community center. before an altar decorated with flowers and incense sticks in front of family, friends, and village dignitaries, Wayne Carlin handed Dom's possessions to the eldest surviving brother, Cut.
They had their white mourning headbands on, and they were just touching these documents like they were something sacred, and just weeping over them, it's incredible.
These are the sisters?
Sisters, brothers, there's a very big extended family now. There's aunts, there's uncles, there's kids, other new generations out there. One woman is very, through the whole thing, she would not stop weeping. This was somebody who knew him when she was 7 years old, his niece, and he'd carry her around. And of course, they had his photograph. It was the first time I've seen a picture of the guy. He looks like a kid.
He's a kid.
Yeah. And they had people, various village dignitaries and from the province come up and make speech. And they asked me to come up and say something, and then, and then just say. I just said that, looking at his diary, it struck me how much of a waste it had been, that this was such a valuable life that had been taken away, and this was the sorrow of the war, and how much I regretted that, and just get whatever came to my mind.
What a waste. Yeah. Talented person as well. And I can always say our regrets that we're in this country.
People came around and they were just, pressing us. I mean, afterwards there was a small crowd. It's just touching us, touching Daisy particularly. They were very touched. Daisy was there. It's not like Hanoi. You go out into the villages, they see very few Westerners.
It was like we were receiving his body. The whole village welcomed him back, and everybody wore mourning bands just like his body had been returned.
Sometime after the ceremony, Dom's brothers and sisters and his army buddy Huy opened the box that contained Dom's belongings. They unwrapped the Vietnamese flag that covered them. They held the certificates of merit given to Dom by his commanding officers, his medals for valor as a medic, his notebooks decorated with flowers and anatomical drawings, a game of tic-tac-toe, poems. The family picked them up, held them lovingly, remembering Dom.
He can rest peacefully now. When that American shot him, Dom looked directly into his eyes. Maybe he thought that this man also has a good heart, so he let him keep his notebooks and papers for 36 years. I think Dom must be happy now, in another world, satisfied with what the American has done.
The family discussed Homer's letters and the things he'd written on his website about his encounter with their brother.
Our family and people of this village feel very proud because the enemy who killed our man has now come back and praised us. Because the American, our one-time enemy, the one who killed my brother, now praised him. Homer said that my brother had the proud stature of a superior person.
Back in North Carolina, Homer and his wife Tibby heard about the ceremony by email.
Well, the night after we found out about the documents being returned, we lit a candle for Dom, and I asked Homer how he felt. And he said he felt a real release of this burden that he had carried for a long time. And we kind of felt possibly Dom's spirit felt a kind of closure in a way, if that's possible. But there was just a wonderful healing that took place.
Mọi người cũng thấy rằng là đúng như là Đảng và Nhà nước mình đã có một cái chủ trương là khép lại quá khứ và hướng tới tương lai.
If after he killed my brother, he did not pick up the documents. Then we would never have seen my brother's documents again. But after killing my brother, Homer's human feelings arose, and I remember reading the article in which he said that my brother was too young, and in just the blink of an eye, he shot. You know that, in wars, everything happened within a few seconds, and afterwards, even if he had regrets, there was nothing he could do. I read Homer's diary about that many times, how he had given the documents to his mother and how they haunted him. So that now that he cannot come here, we all sympathize. And we want him to come here and not worry about anything. It is just that now he and our family have some connection.
So I would like to go back.
Not long ago, I played a videotape of the village ceremony for Homer.
I'd like to go back just to have a little closure for myself, to remember Vietnam in a non-combat way. And I would like to meet Dan's family. I'd like to meet them face to face and just let them know how deeply sorry I am that it happened. And hopefully they'll meet me and get to know me a little bit and realize that I'm not quite an evil demon like they might have thought at one time.
I don't think they think you're an evil demon now.
No, I don't either. I think from what I've heard about them that they're a very religious community. And that says a lot. They have a deep connection with the divine, and so do I. So we'll connect that way.
In Vietnam, you know, we have a certain spiritual relation that we call karma. We think that Dam was a sacred soul. He was so sacred that he could gather us together. The one who had fought and the one who were thirsty to have peace. He was so sacred to gather all of us here to do this thing, to meet today. So that is what we believe.
Hong Nhat Dam's documents now rest on the family altar in Thai Giang. His soul drawn back to the place where he was born. Homer Steedley has found a measure of peace with his wartime memories. A chance encounter between two young men on a jungle trail began a story that hints of the kind of world that might be built from the ashes of conflict. For Wayne Carlin, it's a satisfying ending to a most unusual story of war and its aftermath.
The Vietnam War itself has been a war for many people without any endings, and that people want and need and crave somehow to bring it together to end it. And it rarely happens because it was such a terrible and complex war that we never get to those kind of endings. Here was somebody who had the opportunity for himself and for so many other people to actually create one ending. So it was very powerful. I just felt privileged to be able to be a part of it because you rarely get a chance to do something that good. It was immensely satisfying and emotional.
This program is dedicated to the men and women who fought in the Vietnam-American War, to those who died, and to those who are still missing in action, to the wandering souls of both sides. You can find the complete story of Homer Steedley and Hong Nhat Dam on our website, www.centerforemergingmedia.org. That's one word. Thousands of journals and diaries from the bodies of North Vietnamese soldiers, the fighters of the National Liberation Front, known as Viet Cong, are stored on microfiche at the National Archives. Some 9,000 have been returned to Vietnam through the Vietnam Veterans of America. I'm Mark Steiner, and thank you for listening. This has been a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our story was based in part on Wayne Carlin's essay titled Wandering Souls. Major funding was provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Osprey Foundation. Additional funding from the Abel Foundation, Clean Cuts Music and Sound Design, The Fund for Change, Stony Run Friends Meeting House in Baltimore, Keir Singh, Jonathan Melnick, Gary Levin, and John Sasser. The executive producer was Mark Steiner. The producer, Steve Elliott. Editor, Deborah George. Engineers, Preston Brown and Andrew Epic. Administrative producer, Valerie Williams. Technical producer, Preston Brown. Field recording engineer, Neilan Crawford. Additional field recording, Ti-Min Han Lee and Valerie Williams. Special consulting producer, Wayne Carlin. Vietnamese translations by Ho Nguyen. Adapted into English by Wayne Carlin. Coordinator in Vietnam, Dinh Nhuc Truc. Translator in Vietnam, Thuy Vu. Project consultant in Vietnam, Phan Thanh Hao. Voiceovers by Aaron Jakowski, Ho Nguyen, Marilyn Powell, Steve Elliott, Tony Sandias, and Valerie Williams. Studio recording and mixing facilities provided by Clean Cuts Music and Sound Design. Studio engineer, Andrew Epic, with additional help from Rich Isaac. Special thanks to Jack Hyerman, Performance Workshop Theater of Baltimore, WIPR, Baltimore's NPR news station, Louisa Nielsen, Ward Coe, Al Engelman, Mendel Nacht, SUNY Khalid, and Mary Jane Williams.